The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
You're welcome to this evening's meeting. I believe it's a continuation of the flow of the Spirit. I initially wanted to say I believe it's a beginning of a series of meetings. And it is, in a formal sense, a series of meetings that will speak about the final territories that are to be conquered, conquering the final territories. Now, these meetings, however, have already begun. Since with God, everything is a continuum. In the beginning, God, everything thereafter, it's just a continuation, but it's okay to consider today a beginning of a particular series of emphasis. In the last couple of meetings, I've heard the Spirit emphasize His place in our lives and the kingdom of God. As I was praying towards the end, if you were praying along, you heard me say that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And He told Pilate, when He said, "Don't you know I have power to do something?" He told him, "You'd have no power except it was given you. And if I was of this kingdom, my servants would fight. They would fight." Who are the servants of the Lord? They are angelic and human. They are spiritual and physical. How do we know? The Bible tells us a great king wanted to hold a banquet for his son. And he sent out his servants. He told them, "Go into the highways and the byways. Go everywhere. Find them. Invite them." And we know the Lord sends people to invite them for the banquet of our Lord Jesus. We know physical people have been sent throughout history. We see the disciples of Jesus being sent out by Him. At the same time, we know that the book of Matthew chapter 13 and many other scriptures tell us that the angels were the servants that were sent to reap, harvest the field. We also know that the Lord Jesus told Peter, "Do you think if I wanted to push back on these people arresting me, that I could ask my Father for 12 legions of angels and they would show up right now and stop them from arresting me?" So that's the evidence that the servants of God cross the boundaries of the spirit and the physical. They're in both realms. You can be a servant of God if you serve Him. If you keep serving Him, you're faithful. Excuse me. If you're faithful, you're serving Him consistently. Of course, it doesn't start as servanthood. In the five stages of Christian growth, as we teach it, starts with believing, and then you go on to become a disciple, that's a student, an apprentice, one who learns. And thereafter, the third stage is you become a servant. A servant is not just one who follows. The disciple is a follower, a mathetes, one who practices math, not the way you think. The Hebrew, the Greek word is to learn. To learn. To be discipled. So as you follow behind, as you go after your master, you learn. If you will learn faithfully, you stand the chance of becoming a servant. What's the difference between a disciple and a servant? A disciple follows the master, and whatever the master is doing, he does. Once in a while, he'll do some practicals. Go there, go and do that. Okay, go and come back. Okay. But a servant is often sent to go. Servants represent the master. A good picture would be the servant of Abraham, known as Eleazar of Damascus. And the master needs a wife for his son. He sends a servant. He gives him 10 camel loads of goods. Go come back with a wife. If you can't find one from this place I've sent you, come back like that. But make sure you don't pick a woman from just anywhere. Don't enter into any shady deals and pick any girl. And thereafter, you have friends with God and sons of God, stage 5. Now, the farthest we can likely ever go in this body is friendship with God, like Abraham, like Moses, whom the Bible says directly, they were friends of God. At that stage, the Lord tells you things, not necessarily always because He wants you to do something about it, but like just like your friend would talk to. So, "Oh, by the way, I'm planning to acquire the property next to it." It's not necessarily sending you to go and acquire it. It's just gisting you. This is real. The Lord can stop by and tell Abraham, I intend to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Stop by, eat. Eat in Abraham's house. I moved on. With Moses, he said it. I talked with him face to face, like a friend talks to a friend. A lot of the things you see in the scriptures, Bible tells you that, you know, God would communicate with Moses. When it's at that level, that's where you find out a few extra stuff. Now, what's the ultimate stage? It's Romans chapter 8. Creation awaits the manifestation of the sons, the huos of God. Sons of God are like the angels. Luke chapter 20 tells you. They are like the angels. The revealing of the sons of God all over the world. People have had conferences called it sons of God. Okay. Wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. The Bible tells you about sons of God. It actually tells you. It tells you about some of them sleeping with daughters of men. They gave birth to giants. Sons of God are an entity and a class of existence. They are real. They are not really totally human. Luke chapter 20 tells you in clear language that they are like the angels. It talks about the sons of this age in verse 34. But those who are considered worthy to share in the age to come. That's why I told you son of God dimension is in the coming age. Considered worthy, and you must be considered worthy from the life you lived in this age. You don't attain sonship. You know, it's an unfortunate way of thinking that at the end of the 6,000 year mark, when the rapture, as most call it, the Bible calls it the first resurrection, when that occurs, and then the next resurrection, which is called the general resurrection, 1,000 years later, Revelation 20 tells you this. When these things occur, we presume, the average person presumes that, oh, it's done. It's over. No, that's just the end of the seventh day, 1 week. The next week begins. This is the time. Judgment is not even given at the first resurrection or the rapture, as people call it. Judgment comes 1,000 years later. Revelation 20 is clear. That's when rewards are given. That's when people are being given rewards, real things. Lots of shock going to happen in this 1,000-year period. Lots of shock. People are doing that. But I thought all over the world, Christians, pastors especially, preachers will be saying, oh, I thought I should release a song called I thought. What's going to happen in these 1,000 years? I don't know. I have ideas. I call them opinions. This place. Because judgment is not even given. Final judgment has not even happened for a whole 1,000 years. You know how long 1,000 years is? What will be happening? I don't know. When will the nation be taught the law of God? I don't know. I do know that judgment happens here. It's from this place you step into the lake of fire. Not from here. Here. Yeah. Bible is clear. All of you will be there. Every one of you here. All of you sit there. All of you. All. All of us will be here. All. There's none of us that will not be there. You're going to be standing there. And the Lord is going to say, yes, you. And by the way, the people handling the judgment are the people that were taken up here. People like you. So that girl might be your judge. Bloody. A picture. It does walk up. Yes. You want to greet her like, eh-heh. And she looks up. The fire in her eyes alone. You know she's not your mate. Because the class of people handling judgment here are the son of God class. Then you know that. Look at it. No, don't do this serious Bible study. Just go to where we were. Luke chapter 20, verse 35. Those considered worthy to share in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead. So something happened. These are not people that were alive. These are people that have been raised from the dead. Marriage matter won't be their business. In verse 36. In fact, they can no longer die. So what are they? Those who cannot die are called immortals. Romans chapter 2. He says that those who are seeking after immortality, it's a category. Sons of God are immortals. People join the occult trying to attain immortality. None of them survive. All of them die when it's there. All. There was a man in Ikor Ekpene. They called him Jesus of Ikor Ekpene many decades ago. He died. They said he'll rise after 3 days. I don't know if the clock where he is stopped. He has not gotten up. They expected him to rise. It was serious. They really expected. Nothing happened. Only Jesus can pull that stunt. Nobody else has succeeded. Because the Lord Jesus holds the keys of death and of hell. When you hold the keys, then you can open it. When you don't hold the key, is it not Jesus you have to go to? Please, can I use the key and open it? It's like,
die.
The Bible says they can no longer die because they are what? Like the angels. They are like the angels. You want to understand why a son of God is? They are like angels. And since they are sons of the resurrection, read with me, they are sons of God. So what are sons of God? Sons of the resurrection who are like the angels. Who do you know that is like any of this? So why do you have a conference and call it a manifestation of the sons of God? All I call it ignorance 1-2, indiscipline. You look at something, it does not describe anything you've come near to. You claim it. Pentecostals like doing things like that. The louder it is, the more bombastic it is. The more you think if you say it, you have it. Nobody has had this. You don't have this. What do you have? You have Hebrews 6. You taste of the powers of the age to come. You taste. The Bible talks about tasting. Tasting. You know what it means to taste? This is a bowl of food. To taste, you take some. The whole plate is still remaining. That's tasting. To eat is to consume all. Nobody can taste being a son of God. But nobody can be a son of God in this age. It's in the coming age. But now we can taste it. That's what happens with servants of God that kills servants of God. When you taste, and you, William Branham would walk in those things. He would come on him. And everything he says, you don't tell him nothing. You were born on this day. You were this. He said he sees it like as if he's watching it. Just telling you every part of you were this. James Maloney called it panorama. He said you'd see like this. He could fast forward. It's like scrolling a tab. He could fast forward or reverse. Like literally, he just goes like that. He sees you. So he can stop on a particular date, 19th May, and tell you what happened in detail. He's talking to a lady and he goes that on that day you came coming back going up the stairs. He's describing perfectly. Now, if he had all the time and he was very carnal, like many, if he wasn't quite a humble servant of God, very humble. You don't know his name, right? James Maloney. Good. They exist. Usually you won't know their names, but used by God in fantastic ways, walking in levels of power that are so high, if you knew, you laugh at the things you admire. And he says that's how he would see it. He would see that he's seeing it before him, like as far as he's talking to you, you know, and he could just tell you something. People, plate, head, body, piece, metal, surgery, thing, melt out their skin. Sometimes the doctor is standing and they're like, unbelievable. Metal, they did surgery. You go from there into the hospital, they check. None of that is there. Now, the faith in the atmosphere. And he would say, he would know. Say, an angel would stand by him. Now, I saw a video where, you know, he said, walk here. Once you pass it, you're not to, because he said, there's an angel standing here. But he says, when it would happen, panorama, a panoramic view is, you see something, your phone, have you seen it before? On the picture of panorama. You see a dog panorama. And so he would see, he could scroll forward and backwards. So as he's watching you, he could just, now that's the kind of gift that I believe. A number of people, even in this house, will walk in these things in the days to come. I expect nothing less. I expect even more. But there's a faithfulness needed. There's a faithfulness. There's a diligence. There's a commitment. I only hope sometimes that we have not forgotten the promises. Sometimes we forget so easily. So quickly we forget. Is gone. It's like, there was that time 5 years ago. Imagine I used to believe. Why did you stop believing? Did God come off the throne? No. You're discovering what's called the cares of this world. I'm talking to our people now. The cares of this world. Look at you. How many years? It didn't even blink. It's gone. So I'm saying it now. It seems new. Visitors, sorry. I'm talking to some people. Why does it seem new? Imagine in the long run. What shall we do? See this world? It's thick. It's the easiest thing to get buried under. And these are promises God has pending for people. But why I started telling you that story is because you only taste that. You don't live in it. You can't live in that permanently. You can't. Not now. You can only taste. If you live in that, you attain sonhood. That's why servants of God, they stand under the grace of God. It's what you hear them call an anointing. It is what people who have not experienced criticize and say it's a lie. It's not possible. It's what makes servants of God feel invincible. It's also what makes them sin against God sometimes. Because when it's not present, when that unction is not present for any gift at all, healings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, miracles, faith, tongues and interpretation, discernment of spirit. When it's not present and you know, these people came, they heard what happened in the other meeting, in the other town, and they came with their expectation. Now that man of God wants to pump it by force. And if God has not chosen to be present, the Bible tells you Jesus was in the house and the Spirit of God was present to heal. In other words, there are times the Spirit was not present to heal. Could have been present, and you can read many times, he was present to teach, not to heal. So there are these things. I, as a servant of God, I've come to see. Thank God I know about it. I know it's hard. I know there's the temptation to want to stir it up like, oh God, these people will now think that I'm not anointed. It's better to die to these things. How many times have I been in a situation where I didn't expect God to move in that way and he moved? So the times I now expect God, you better move how you moved the other day. Don't embarrass me here. You see, people have invited people. I looked at it. I decided I cannot torment myself like that for anybody. If the Lord wants to do it, let him do. Let him move. Let him save. Let him deliver. Let him heal when he wants. My job is to listen and recognize. Is he saying that now? Is he saying that now? Is he saying that? And usually when he wants to do it, he'll make it inconvenient. So even many people who would have seen God move a certain way, they can't. First time I saw the presence of God fall on a crowd, I was invited by the Law Students Fellowship, Christian Law Students Fellowship. Year was 2014, 10 years ago. And as I stood in that meeting, I began to preach about 5 o'clock. That's when they gave me the mic, invited me up, and I began to preach. Now they ought to close by 6. The topic was the lawyer and the kingdom. I preached till 7. By 6 o'clock, maybe half of the people left. It was a full hall. Many of them left. Half remained. It was by 7 o'clock. Did I know? I'd never even seen what happened that day. I'd never experienced it. By 7 o'clock, the glory of God hits the room and many things happen. Very many things. The glory and the power and the presence of God. Question, why didn't he do it before 6? Especially in light of the many things people say that God understands. God knows we have a time. God knows all those things we say and say it with usually powerless people say all those things. God knows. Usually people that have not seen God move certain way, they say it with, like God called them and said it, told them. Meanwhile, anybody who has seen God move many times knows the circumstances are always very strange. Example, you went to pray for somebody and they said maybe the woman, old woman is sick and you just wanted to pray. You were even slightly embarrassed when they say pray for her now. You're like, you thought you just said, Father God, ask that you have mercy, heal her in Jesus' name and leave. Like you have done it. It's just that when you started, you're like, what's this one? Now another, okay, but let's round up here before we embarrass somebody. From there, something became something that became something that became someone doing, standing up. And almost every time God does things, there are circumstances that make it seem not possible. There's usually some difficulty involved, some obstacle, something. That's the truth. Very many times. Example, it's very late. You're very tired. Those are the kind of things. You're very tired. You look at, okay, we are wrapping up now or something. Or I had this thing coming up or the person was meant to. You know, it's like there's usually a test as though God is testing you. And I don't think God has changed much. Do you know where the Lord Jesus was when food multiplied? In a desert place. Have you read it before? A desert place. A desert place. That's where he fed people in thousands with a few loaves of bread. In a desert place. Why not close to a town where there's a backup plan? Because you know, he'll create circumstances that are the most unlikely circumstance. Then you need him. If he doesn't show up, all right. So we can only taste after 3 days, desert place, after 3 days without food. Why did you make it like this? I'm sure those who know how things should be ordered had told people by the evening of the first day, let's go. Let's go. The man has to be realistic. These are people's, let's go. You buy the tape. You download the audio. Let's go. Now, for all those who left before the third day, how many of you know what will happen when they came back with stories? People came back with bread. Like, where do you guys get this from? You stop by a shop? No. Before we finish, the master, he multiplied bread. I am telling you, see, it's a lie. Ask God out. You had to be there to see it. Why must he make it incumbent? Why does the Lord do this? Why does he do this? It's the answer to that is the answer to why they cannot be sons of God now. There's a lot of inconvenience to undergo. an unlikelihood of your possibly attaining it. It's after that that something is going to come. Not when everything seems to be flowing. Pa, 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 pa. Receive it. Receive it. From there, you just become a son of God. Things will happen in this world. Things will happen. Every kind of thing will happen. Christians will be trampled underfoot. The Bible tells you that the holy people, the saints, were here on Sunday. You remember the holy people? The holy people, the set apart ones, it tells you they will be trampled in the book of Revelation, I believe chapter 7. Now, it's repeating what it was in Daniel chapter 7. You know, but it says they will be trampled underfoot by the beast. The shapeless, formless, undescribable beast is going to do great harm to God's people. How will he do it? They will be given over. They will be handed over to his power. Why? Because except, according to Acts chapter 14, it is through tribulation we will enter the kingdom. So there's not going to be sonship. You throw straight from your good job into sonship. No, there's not the character of God. There's a worthiness. You must deserve it. You know, for those who have been taught so much about how Jesus did it all, that is, everything is a gift. You cannot be worthy and it's a gift. No, you earn it. It's earned. You deserve. The scriptures are very clear. Sons of God, in Romans 2, immortality is earned. Bible tells you those who seek glory, honor, and immortality by perseverance. He didn't say those who seek justification, which is forgiveness of sin, which is what it means to be become born again. It's not by seeking to be born again that you get this. No, it's by seeking glory, honor, and immortality. Glory. Glory is not your glory, your praise. Mm-mm. You're seeking God's glory. You're seeking God's honor. You're seeking to be like God, immortal like God. He will give. And he tells you how you seek it by perseverance in doing good, not in believing in Jesus, in doing good. So, hey, what happens to all of you who have been told and held on to the belief that it is not what you do? You're out. You're already out because you will never be driven to do the level of doing that will make you worthy. Who understands? You will never. Your head is pumped full of all you need to do is relax. It's done. If you stop believing, you lose it. You've already lost it. To attain this, you must do good in persevering constancy. You must continue doing good. You did good yesterday, last month, last year. People disappointed you, betrayed you. You keep doing. Why do you think it tells you to persevere? Nobody perseveres in the face of that, which is easy. How many of you persevere to lie down on your bed? How many of you, when you want to start from a bed, your bed, you can almost swear, it tells you, wait a little. You don't persevere to go and lie down. You persevere in standing up. It is standing up when the alarm rings. That is work. Yeah. It's perseverance in standing up. You're like, God, a few more minutes. God, this person that calls us for devotions, can't you be slightly late? I suspect you have a perverse delight in waking us up. Is it even right? You hear all sorts of things in your head. God understands. There's nothing you not hear. Oh, was that when you were calling us? I thought you were telling us that you soon be time to stand up. Oh, from there I took off again. It's perseverance in standing up. That is perseverance in doing good, in telling the truth. Last time I told the truth, you know what happened to me? Do you know the trouble I entered? In fact, that matter has not been settled. Last time you told, you entered trouble. You tell again, you entered trouble. The teacher beat you, then the students beat you. It is perseverance in doing that which is good. Somebody needs to understand this. Now, we're going to come to conquering territory. It's the same thing, but I'm laying it out. And the Holy Spirit is answering some people. You have questions. The one who sees your heart is answering your questions. So you don't say, I didn't understand. You understand that. There's a very real responsibility you owe. There's classes of Christians. Now, for those who think that if you're not in this class, you're not a child of God, you're not correct. You can be a child of God, but you won't be in this class. There's going to be more than one class of humans in the days to come. The Bible tells you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the greatest in the kingdom and the least in the kingdom. There will be different kinds of people, grades of people. 1 Corinthians 15 tells you that some will have glory that is like the sun. Then some will have like the moon. Then some like the stars. Then even among stars that there are levels of glory. Then it tells you that there will be glory celestial, heavenly bodies, we just described, and glory terrestrial, earthly glory. Since they all have different kinds of body, that the resurrection will be a function of what was planted, that different things sprout when you're planted. Do you know what it means to be planted? It means to die. Seeds do not sprout except they die first. Jesus said it this way, except a corn of seed fall to the ground, it abides alone. But when it goes in, it will rise, you bear much fruit. Exactly so. So when you throw your life into the ground, all of you, to the degree you died for Jesus, and dying doesn't mean physically cutting your throat only. That may happen, but it may never happen. Most people, you never lose your physical life. It's what Paul said when he said, I die daily. It is everything you did for God, everything you did in obedience to God, everything you did in compliance to God's will, in face of all the difficulties of this world. Every time you comply, every time you know, I will answer you. No, not today. I will answer. And the Holy Spirit says, remember what I told you. Remember the last time you're talking to me and you agreed that you not say anything and you argue with me how long? And I told you, give it 3 months first. And you agreed, 3 months. It's just 1 month and 2 days. And within you, you die, you wither. You're like, what is it? See, leave all these things. Then the enemy starts talking. Is it not that church you went to? See, that's how they put you under oppression. Do they know what you go through? Ba, 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 ba. And then you start being double-minded, thinking. But if so, dying is not. What do we suffer? Most of us. Paul, he will be beaten. They'll beat him with a rod, with whips. They'll beat him physically throughout the ages. Not just Paul. People have suffered torment physically. If physical beatings could be endured and people did not curse the people beating them in China, in Russia, in Romania, in all the places, ancient Rome, Greece, all the places they tortured and tormented under the Roman Empire, they tormented Christians in the medieval times under every kind of setting. And they didn't turn and say, God will punish you. This flogging, you're flogging. Because I've not done anything to you. God will punish you. The God I serve must punish you. Your children will suffer like this. Now look at us. What do we suffer? What do we suffer? What do we suffer? You want to go and compete sonship. Can't you presume that all the sonship positions have been taken up? What have you suffered? What? What have you suffered for Jesus? No, Jesus did it all. You liar. Jesus clearly did not do it all, as you will see. It is clear in the Bible that he did not do it all. He did all and he said, greater works shall you do. You don't know what that means in English? Let me say it well. I have done what I've done, but there's much more remaining. You will do it. That's what greater means. Not greater faith, greater works. Very simple. There's much work to be done. You're the one that will do it. You guys will do that one. Paul came out plainly and said, I fill up in my body the sufferings of Christ for the church. Dear God. And he told you where he was filling it up. In his body. Ah, Paul, are you claiming to be Jesus too? Ah, Paul, what if I said that? You say, hey, blasphemy. Now this man is claiming that he is not. Greater works. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. That's the church. And I fill up in my flesh what is lacking. How could he say something is lacking in regards to Christ's affliction? Where's that Paul? Kill him. It is those who do not understand even what we are talking about. There's a gap. Jesus did not do it all. I've always said it here. People love to say the finished work of Christ. I permit you to say the finished work of justification. But you don't say the finished work of Christ. Finished what? There are three major steps. Justification, sanctification, glorification. The word justification, to justify. The law could not justify any man. So Jesus said, you know what? I've paid all your school fees. To justify is equivalent to paying your school fees. To buying you out from slavery. Jesus provided this with his life. All right, so I've paid. Anyone that believes, walk up and collect a receipt. That's what it means to get born again. To believe that Jesus has paid the price for your being accepted as God's child. That's step one. This is the one that is free. You see the next level, sanctification. This is in your spirit, by the way. Justification is in your spirit. Sanctification is of the soul. The salvation of the spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says this way, that God is able to save your whole spirit, keep your whole spirit, body, and soul, and body blameless. Spirit, soul, and body blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, he may sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. So there is a blamelessness the Lord wants to walk into you. If this is so, how will it be accomplished? First, you go to Jesus. He's the Savior of the whole world. You worship God in spirit and truth. So he attends to your spirit so you can be amongst the worshipers of God. He saves your spirit. How? Romans 10, verse 9. Your mouth, you confess Jesus is Lord, and with your heart, you believe that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. But that's a stage of salvation. The next stage, James 1 tells you that you receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. It tells you what he says. Your soul, your suke. This is your pneuma that is justified. Your soul is sanctified, and it comes through the washing of the water by the word. Ephesians 5. This comes through belief, by faith. Faith. But it's hope which does not make ashamed that pushes you to pursue sanctification. Do you know what sanctification is? Hagios. To be holy. Be ye hagios as I am hagios. The word sanctify is the word hagios. Hagiosunic. From it's the root word hagios. I may be wrong, I may be right, but it's the same word. You pursue holiness. That's what sanctification, holiness. Being made holy. That's in your soul. This is where worthiness starts coming in. This one is a gift. This is a gift. Justification is a gift. But this one, so how do you get justification? By asking. Ask, you shall receive. But how do you get sanctification? You seek. There's a real price you pay. Now, it is only people that entered stage two and pursued stage two that stand the chance of being a son of God. You don't have it from shouting or that you have gift of the Spirit. By the way, do you know who are given gift of the Spirit? Not the holy. Not at all. Read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. They're a very carnal church. And the Bible says, I know you all operate in gifts of the Spirit. Gifts are not given to worthy children. Gifts are given to children. Someone comes to your house. The person is your child. Someone is kind to them because they are kind. They give a gift because it's your child. That's it. I had Pastor Nathaniel Bassi stop by my house sometime 2 years ago or so. And then he gave my kids. He put in an envelope. I didn't even realize how much it was. It was $200 at the time, which is, see, I think it was about $100,000 at the time, you know, later when we changed it. He gave me an envelope. And then he looked at my second son and said, which of you plays the trumpet? Whatever. And he promised him a trumpet. Went to Lagos and sent down a trumpet. An actual, nice, good quality trumpet. Like, he plays the trumpet. That's a gift. Why did he give it to him? Why didn't he give to the children on our street? When he drove into my compound, why didn't he stop and talk to the people? Why did he give it to my children? He gave it to them because they are my children. Gifts are given not because... He didn't ask, what's your result? Did you take first? He didn't do any of that. That's how gifts are given. So the gift of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, different gifts of the Spirit are given not because you are holy. This is what many Christians think. This is what I used to think many years ago. Did you see? As they're praying, she saw a vision. Kai, this must be a very holy sister. How? Till you are shocked. How many of you have been shocked? It shocked you. It still they shock you. Okay, put that. How many of you, they shock yourself. It shocked you. Shock. That's the biggest shock, is when God gave you a gift. You're like, That's why when you saw it very clear, you say, I don't know. Truly, what you're thinking about is, this is how I embarrass myself. Me, that I quarreled this morning before I left the room. How will I share? How will I say? When they say, you have something to say, how will I say it? No, I'll write it and send it in later. Because you know your housemates, your house head will be asking. You saw. How did you saw? Those your stubborn eyes, you saw. That's where they start questioning. That's when people start questioning. I hope it's the Spirit of God that moves in this thing. Because of you, your character. But I'm telling you the truth. God does not give gifts according to each. Gifts are given. We have every time you have a baby, someone can come by and give gifts. You don't know. Do you know they gave gifts to the children that grew up to become armed robbers? You don't know they gave gift. Wait. You don't know on the day they did dedication that someone gave, put some money in that baby's hand? Did he know? Did he say, take, criminal, take? I'm trying to explain. Stop presuming. Stop thinking. Stop having all sorts of wrong ideas, you can't have a gift except you're worthy. Gift worthiness is not needed for gifting. Faith is needed for gifts. Faith. Not just your faith, the faith where you are. Where you are. Many people in our church had gifts because when they came, I had faith that they could have gifts. So I prayed, Father, it happens all the time. It happens. It happened last month before last. Every once in a while, I'm in a meeting and I feel like maybe the Father is in a mood to show favor. So I ask, Father, I'm asking you, give gifts of the Spirit, gifts of discernment of spirits, words of knowledge. And people right there, standing in their seats, whether I lay hands or not, begin to have visions. They start seeing things. People, you know, and many of them are shocked, far more shocked as you would be if you know they got, because you wonder, how can you? It is why you see people, some churches, they are very irresponsible. They are very poor in character development. They are very poor in teaching people to develop godly character. But many of their members have gifts of the Spirit. Who has come across any group like that? They have gifts of the Spirit. Meanwhile, they're always repenting of immorality, but they have gifts of the Spirit. People are quick to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they have, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a gift. Acts chapter 2. And because they didn't sit there and say, well, you know, we'd have asked God for gift, but since none of us is worthy, let's, as we walk on change, when we become perfected, we can ask for gift. So in churches where they don't talk about just faith to receive God's goodness, you barely see gifts of the Spirit. In churches where they are big on it, is this bringing understanding to someone? In churches where they are big on gifts, oh, you can receive. They see. Jesus said it this way, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And many do not have any faith. And some people act like, no, God will do whatever I want to do. Is that what Jesus said? Jesus said, according to your faith. Now, you now change it to according to God's faith. It's not true. It's according to your faith. Oftentimes, if your attitude, Matthew 9:29, then he touched your eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? I like how this translation puts it. Will it be done unto you? Or done to you? If you will have faith, in spite of your weaknesses and issues, that God can speak to you. That's what makes people. Amongst the people with some of the greatest manifestations of the gifts of God are some of the most poor fruit-bearing human beings in this world. Smokers, drinkers, hidden drunkards, immoral Christians. All of them have seen some of the greatest move of God. I've seen it in our congregation. I've read it and heard it in the lives of men of God out there. Big men of God. And you hear people say, it's a lie. How can it be true? While he was in that country, having that crusade and claiming all those things happened, he was having an affair with two girls. Hey, it can never be God. Have you met Judas? No, I'm serious. Have you met Judas? Did you meet him in the Bible? Did you meet Judas? When he sent them out two by two, what did he say they should do? One of you will preach and cast out demons. The other one will provide prayer cover. He sent them out two by two and said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Do you think Judas did not go out as a pair? Since they were 12 and they went out two by two, what do you think happened? Did Judas go out? Yes. Did he see miracles, signs, and wonders? Yes. So what are you talking about? He gave them authority. He called the 12 to him, Mark 6:7. Then Jesus called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. He gave them authority. Did Jesus, when he was about to leave in Matthew 28, say, go out into all the world, preach gospel, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go. Now, do you know those who go tend to see? They take the authority, Jesus said, and go. When you take it and go, even when you have many issues, you will see his authority move. Believe me, people have gone out. God has used them to do things. And sometimes some of the things they say God used them to do, he didn't do some. They lied. So there's a mixture of they are telling lies, but God is also using them. So God healed 20 people and they come and say, about 100 people in that place, the power of God knocked them down. Who has ever been around a servant of God in a crusade or something and you hear them tell the story later and it was exaggerated? You really doubted, like, that's not how. Then you tell us, maybe I didn't see well. Anybody ever had the misfortune? How many of you know you saw well? There's nothing to say. The man lied. Raise your hand now. Raise it. Then I always forget to look at your faces when you raise your hand. Sorry. I always forget. But I know I saw a couple of hands here. So if he lied, but how many of you know God, how many of you, those people, you've seen God use them still. So what do you think is happening there? You're still the one that is confusing character with gifting. It's not the same. You can have a very poor character and God can use it and do all sorts of things. Many servants of God, God has used to do great and mighty things. If you know some of the errors throughout history, some of them have perpetrated massive errors. Why should you doubt when you have the man called Samson in your Bible? Why should you doubt? Did you not see Samson? So let me tell you what those people have learned. They've learned, I beg, I cannot wait for my character before I go and do something. I think sometimes it's okay to do that, but there are times I've looked at people and sometimes they tell them, stop doing things before Satan strikes you down. Stop. It's best when you're younger. The older you grow, the more you have a name and you are known and the grace of God is moving. When you preach, people get saved. When you preach, people get saved. When you preach, because you have a gift of evangelism. When you preach, people get saved. They get saved in hundreds, in thousands. What you now do when you look at your character flaws is, you know what? That's when they come up with teaching that God does not mind. Then another group say, it's my weakness. Both of them will leave. We'll do the two. I'll maintain this weakness. It's actually a besetting sin. That's not a weakness. A besetting sin. And I will do this. I'll live with the two. Like Naaman, I'll have leprosy. Then I'll be a mighty commander at the same time. Even Naaman had enough sense to know, no, I need to get healed of this leprosy. I need to get healed. Or eventually it will destroy me. Because that's what it does. Eventually, this character flaw eventually destroys the man. Eventually, that ministry goes down in a great puff of smoke. Eventually, right now, the world is shaking. Thank God many of you don't know about some of what's happening. Certain people. You know some, you don't know some. With great influence around the world. And things from 30 years ago have come to blow up everything. Some after they die. Terrible things. That's what happens when you don't deal with the leprosy. You cover the leprosy and keep commanding. Yes, you. Hey, brigadier, come here. You're busy raising new brigadiers. Busy. You seem successful. Then you go down in shame. My teaching, my belief. If I did not have any of those people for an example, we have Samson. He dies with his enemies. In a great crusade, he dies in it. Yes, many people came to Christ, but he died. Why? Because character, fruit of the Spirit, is more important than gift. How do I know? Because the Bible tells you when the owner of the field comes, he looks for fruit on his trees. He does not look for gifts. He gives gifts. So what do we do? Do we wait till our character is perfect? No. Never stop developing character as you're walking in gifts. Have you heard me? You must focus on character while the gifts are still growing. I've told you in my life, I focus on character for many, 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 many years. You don't need to be a preacher. It's very hard. This is the problem. It's very hard to be a preacher while focusing on character. These are the things you keep doing and keep doing and keep doing for long. It takes a long time for fruits to grow. Very long time. You must water, you must manure, you must do many things. How long does it take to get a gift? Huh? I don't have a gift. I've got to give someone. You want to give me to give it back? Okay. It's not a gift. It's just your money. It's just for illustration. Hey, still give me. How long does it take to give a gift? It takes an encounter. Are you hearing me? It takes an encounter. So, all right. Buy pen. That's how long a gift takes. I walked past a place some other week or other and I saw some children and I gave them some money each and passed. What have those children done? Nothing. What did they do to deserve? They existed in my space and I could afford to give it. It's out of, have you heard of the bounty of the Lord? Bounty is the abundance, the resource, the riches of his favor, the riches of his grace. Have you heard that phrase? You understand it? Out of the riches of his favor. So it's okay, give them. That, you're in their space. That's the same thing. A servant of God comes and he's preaching and he's of the grace, the access God has given him. He says, Father God, I ask for grace. Father, I ask that you release. I ask. You know, you're using access. And right there, things are happening. For those who have heard it abused, I know. I preach it far more than you. I've preached it so hard, so long that I don't know. I think I can go on break and stop preaching against bad practice. But no, we move. However, It is not, don't make the mistake many make. Say that thing they prayed is lie. It doesn't work. No. No, it works. I've told the story a few times here. It happens. I'm sure it happened last month. Happens again once in a while in a meeting. You know, I've told you the first time I did it, 2016, something. I was trying to illustrate the point. It was a normal Sunday meeting in my parlor at the time. And I stopped and I said, you think I can't pray for you to have money? Father, in the name of Jesus, within the next, I'm not talking about normal money. I don't mean the money they normally send you weekly. I'm talking about abnormal, extraordinary, unexpected. I prayed it. It happened. Now I forgot to ask. Maybe weeks passed before I remember. I say, you guys, you didn't tell me if it happened. Another time, I did it maybe in 7 years. I may have done that 6-7 times. It's a deliberate thing. And sometimes it was just to prove a point. And I would say, even I think so, a month or two ago, I did it. It's deliberate. And every time I do it, it's not some, as I'm saying it, money is entering the account. As I'm saying it in the right there, that is gifting grace. The grace that comes with the gift of being a pastor. So in the spirit realm, I have a staff. It's a stick. It's a staff of authority like Moses. I can use it and stretch it over in front of a problem, a Red Sea, and it parts. And you can, it's a real, now I can refuse to use it. God, they come, there's no water. God says, what? Strike that rock. Bam. Water starts flowing. If he doesn't strike it, water does not flow. You are thirsty. It's a real consequence. He's gifting as their shepherd. In that, it's a real, so I'm saying this for the person that says, all of that is not true. If God wanted to do it, you do it. I'm sorry. I almost used to talk like that. It's not true. It's not true at all. If you don't pray for someone or ask certain things, nothing may happen. The person can be like that till they die. That whole, no, if nothing, are you implying that if he didn't come here, nothing would change? Likely, almost certainly, nothing would have changed. Why would God take the thing of someone's life and put it in another person's hand? That's, so what about the things of your life being in God's hands? Why has he not given it all to you? How do you go to an office and a woman says, I like you, you remind me of my, I had a friend when I was in school. You look like her. What is your name? You'd say, okay, what was her name, her maiden name? Okay, it's not, it's okay. Bring, have they given you your file? Okay, and then she helps you. Are you saying that's not a real thing? These things are happening every day in the natural, in the same, in the spiritual. It took a while to get to this point. I was really of the mind that no, God is not unfair. It's not unfairness. Favor is a real thing. It's you can find favor with God because someone said, come. I was a student. I just finished teaching in fellowship, sharing, exhorting about the prayer of agreement. I got to understand it. I read it in a book. If Kenneth Hagin didn't write the book, I would not have read it and known about it either. So the girl comes out, she's crying, faculty office, 2000. She's crying, eyes are all red, puffy. I said, what's happening, Vicky? Says the faculty officer won't sign my form. I said, come, give me your hand. Father, we agree that you sign it in the name of Jesus. Da, 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 da. Go back in. She said, you don't understand. I've gone twice. She has chased me out twice. I say, go back in. She walks in. She signs it. Comes out. Now, I didn't stand to watch. I walked away. But I remember being on the first floor of the Faculty of Law. And I saw her outside walking with a jaunty step. And I shouted at Victoria. What she said? She said, she signed it. She, you know. Now, listen. So, you're saying that if I didn't do anything, that those circumstances would have still existed. It's not true. She would have gone home that day. Maybe she would have signed it another day. But whatever played out that day would not be the case. There's real consequence to gifting. Now, I was her fellowship president. And second, she obeyed me. If she didn't obey me and go inside, nothing would have happened. So her act of humility in obeying and having the mind to even think of who goes inside. I don't know if I would have gone back in. They just removed you twice. You went, came back, sent you away, came back, sent you away. Then you show up a third time. Don't be trouble they look for. You're a student. This is a big person. You don't have respect. But God is good. So God touched her heart and made her sign it for her. In all things, in different circumstances, there are gifts are real. So if I give you a pen, you have received the capacity to write. If I didn't give you this pen, the capacity to write with this quality of penmanship and ink, would not be there. Maybe you have a big, there's real consequence. So let's not be extremist, okay? You know, I almost used to be guilty of that. It's not, the evidence for what I'm saying is my life. I've seen it too many times to be able to discard it, to be able to discard it. And I also came to understand why many servants of God now come to the place where they think everything they do is God's will because of the answers they keep seeing. So what it does something to you till a time comes you don't even believe. You say, I prayed for you, you're still sick. No, it's your fault. That's why who has heard things like that? It's your fault. Because of how many times they've seen God answer. So if you didn't get healed, it must be your fault. Truly must be your fault. Now, it may be your fault, actually. And it may not be your fault. The children, the disciples looked at Jesus and said, why could we not cast it out? He said, this child does not go out except by prayer. Now, some translations say with fasting too. Probably prayer was the more correct thing. Some say prayer and fasting, King James. Others say by prayer, except by prayer. And the question is like, how? While we still seek understanding, amongst other things, where did Jesus just come from? Was he not upstairs on the mountain, you know, seeking the Lord? Where were they? In the business of life. Sometimes you need to seek the Lord. Now, let me give you a story that will give you context. Do you remember Peter raising a dead woman? Do you know the Bible? Three stories. When I taught you about using the name of Jesus, that it means using his authority. Do you remember that in the first instance, he and John saw the man by the gate called Beautiful. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he got up, walking and leaping and praising God. Second instance, Annas, Jesus heals you. A crippled man stands up. Third instance, she is dead. Dorcas, Tabitha, she is dead. The Bible says in verse 40, Acts 9, he sent them all out of the room and did what? He knelt down and prayed. Are you seeing that? And turning toward her body, the corpse, he said, Tabitha, get up. He didn't even call Jesus' name because he had just finished talking with the Lord. Then he got probably the instruction by the Holy Spirit. Just say, get up. Call her name and tell her to get up. So he obeys. And a dead woman opens her eyes. What did you just, those three stories. It's explaining to you. Now, why did he pray? There are things that don't just happen with authority. Sometimes you need to consult. So the disciples were trying to cast out that demon in what? Matthew 17. And the demon would not leave. How many of you know those disciples had been casting out demons and demons used to obey them? Yes, it's very clear. So there was confusion. So they asked the master later on, why could we not? Because there are levels to the exercise of the authority of God. Is this okay? There are levels. It's not one way. So you hear someone say, ain't God use you? If that guy's testimony is true, oh yeah, do this one now. You hear that logic? That's like saying, and if you pass, if you truly are the one that wrote your primary six exams, oh yeah, pass this PhD. How many of you know university is not the same as, how many of you discovered the hard way in year one, the end of year one? Anybody here that being the best student in a secondary school is not the same as being the best in a university class? Some of you, you're still too wounded to even respond. You came with that attitude. I was the best graduating. Something now dude you. Things are different now. Something happened to you. Something happened to you. That attitude before me, I don't really read. The day before exam, I just flipped through. Ah! They didn't jam you like rock. You wish they would tell you all these things in year one, early. They just say, come on, this is not your secondary school. I don't care which local school you went to. This is university. I don't care if you went to an international secondary. I don't care. If you don't study and prepare a different way, you will hear songs of mourning. And this is the reality. Every healing, every show, every demonstration of the gift is not the same. Do you understand? If you have a toy gun, when Uncle Onyo, she comes, huh? Say, Daddy, let me bring my gun. Which gun? That my gun you bought for me on my birthday. Your water gun. That one is for shooting your brother. And your mother. It's only your parents that run when you shoot that one. Mr. Thief will not run. Are you understand? There are degrees. This is the reality of life. Do we understand these things? I'm about to jump in. Now, you know, today is Wednesday. There'll be opportunity to ask questions. We'll be here on Friday. We'll continue this meeting. It's going to be a series of meetings on conquering the final territories. There are very real things that are going to happen in the end of the age. Why did I start by talking about this? Because there are territories that must be conquered before the end comes. Oh, the end is coming. You thought we'll be here forever. I repeat, and you happen to be born at the end. We are finished, but in a good way and a bad way, depending on which side you're standing. You are finished. Some of you will serve Satan with great power. God forbid. Some of the people, maybe it's online. No, but if you play anyhow, you will end up serving Satan. Not in a small manner, in a mega manner. Why? It's the end of the age. It's the end of the age. It is the end of the age. The end of the age will be like the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Only 8 were saved. Why? Because all mankind had given themselves over to evil. So much so that their every thought was evil. The Bible says so. Every thought. How can you come to a place where every thought is evil? They are working on it right now. They are working on it right now. Darkness and wickedness and demons. When you can practice evil openly, without shame, as the trans community, transsexuals and all that are increasingly, as there's boldness and openness, as they can teach it in school, put it in little children's textbooks, show them how to commit homosexuality in textbooks in primary 2, 3, 4, 5, they draw it with drawings. Pornography, text, it's a book. It's not porn. It is a textbook. They gave it to the child in school. It's in their library. Your child is 7, 8, 9. That's what he's reading. In that country, your family has been trying to go to. You know, the thing is so bad that even when we tell this story, we can't even show you. But that the children are reading in school, but I could put a picture up right now. But we can't. But this is what children are reading in school. Next to little Amy is Arnold. Little Arnold. That's what they read in class. Things that when you saw it first online, you looked around guiltily. That's how you became a porn. They think in class, primary school. You think that's, where do you think it's going to a place that every inclination, Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was altogether evil all the time. How you do that is you saturate everywhere with evil. Till evil is everywhere you turn, evil. Those are naked people on the picture. That's a naked, in that billboard, that's a naked person. That's a video playing on the road, on the wall. Naked. Sex. Lying. Someone stabbing someone. Violent video games. Lord God. Bah. Wow, it looks so real. Bow, 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 bow. They are making it look realer and realer and all that. And you're not even moved. Brain's exploding. White matter, gray matter. It doesn't. You don't know what they are doing to you. They are reshaping how a normal human being. You know, among the things that stops you from committing murder is the sight of blood and pain. Now, when you've watched blood and pain so much, why do you think people carry guns into a place and go, bakra, boo, bow, boo, bah. I should tell you that they first kill people on video games for a very long. I should tell you, a game is a game. It's not a game. It's just a game. No. You've been desensitized. You're no more a normal person. You look at sexual content, pornographic content, till dopamine is released, till your head. You don't know what they've done. Then you jump from this kind, and then they'll put categories of porn, demonic things. They want to make you come to a place where evil doesn't mean anything. You can even talk about it openly. And I just talk with someone next to you. And both of you are like 16, 17. Now you continue like that for the next 15 years. What do you think is going to be happening here? When you hear about Satanists and all the evil being done in this world, and people can come out in the day and wear a suit and a tie and all that, then they leave and at night they are killing a human baby and eating it and drinking the blood. How do you think they got to that place? Now, because some do that, not the majority, a minority. Who says the majority cannot do it? When the majority comes to a place where they keep quiet and say, well, no, accept them. No, that's their own reality. No. I don't mind. I'm not condemning you. as it increases and increases and increases. And I don't know if I should harm you with this story. You should. A few days ago, it just happened. A few days ago, a man is run over. A car, right? Bam! And hits a man. He tries to jump, but he hits him. They don't show the thing. They can't even show. They blur it. Hits him. Bah! Then reverses and climbs over him. Boom! I haven't even finished. You're shouting. We are just beginning. This is the easiest part. And then a woman comes out long. You can see it is a street video. And she walks in, somewhere in America, walks over calmly, slowly, with a knife in her hand, walks over, picks up his face, kisses him, and stabs him 9 times, and stands up and walks like this. She's wearing a bra and a pant. Other, then she walks like this. Bah, bah, bah. Jumps over the body like she's doing ballet and walks like that. And goes away. The end. They now say it's a man that is a woman, is a transsexual. Those guys again. I told you about them. No, if you say they are crazy, they'll say, how dare you? They keep doing this. They keep doing this. They keep doing this. Now, how did it become that they can boldly walk on the streets and all that? Is it not just in the last few years that your favorite president? Is it not just a few years ago? Finally, a black man. He let it all in. Woo. Let it all in. Which is, you can't walk by his side. I've told you, most people are going to vote in the Antichrist. Oh, yes. The Christian community voted in Hitler. Oh, we have new people. Once in a while, I have to update you. They voted them in while arguing about politics. No, it's the better choice. Hitler, he stood in front of the equivalent of PFN camp. He bowed to them. They talked about how humble he was. Some of you don't know who Hitler was. You don't know who Hitler is. The reason for the Second World War. Have you watched what's that song? Sound of Music. That army that came in and took over that country was called Austria. That's the Third Reich. That's the government of Hitler. Have you heard of Corrie ten Boom? That's that government. Have you read Chronicles of Narnia and all that war that was going on in England? That's Germany. Hitler was the head of the German government and he came in and dominated and knocked out and entered many countries. Poland, Belgium, he invaded Poland, invaded France, invaded, was trying to invade England, invaded many countries and was dabbling into witchcraft, it would appear, and many other dark things at the same time. That man was massively voted in by the Christian community. Believe it. You don't know any history. You repeat it. Be arguing on the streets about who is right, who is wrong, who is the better person. It's not using your head. How do you know someone is the better? Do you know what someone will be tomorrow? You have no clue, except God told you. Now, how many people ask God anything when it comes to certain things? Why did God give you a head? Your votes is what counts. Are you sure? Are you sure? Don't learn from history, you become history. You don't learn from history, you become history. I can assure you the Antichrist is going to be around for a while before most Christians go, did you hear what he, no, we have made a mistake. You learned nothing. You didn't read your Bible. You're too busy with news. When maybe if you're listening to God, you have told you, my children, the next 8 years, you need to build a house in a mountainside under the ground. If you're busy listening to him, maybe you'd have gone and built a house. You know, it takes time to move sand. Who knows? You might have put things in place. Now, I don't believe in just existing. I don't think so. But God would have told you, I need you to evangelize, you know, you. Because many of them will follow the Antichrist. Try now. Now that they are in their 20s. Because in the next 10 years, when that guy shows up, majority will bow. When he shows up and has one conference and commands all the demons that have been worrying you to leave you alone, all of you, you experience, they'll call it the greatest healing revival we've ever experienced. Meanwhile, he's the false prophet of the Antichrist. Is that in the Bible? Yes. Yes. The Bible tells you he's going to do so many signs that the whole earth is going to worship. It tells you the whole world worship. You didn't believe it. I thought you were a Christian. Christians believe in the Bible. Oh, you believe in signs and wonders. You don't care much about the Bible. So how on earth are you going to escape the Antichrist since he's given to signs and wonders? He's the master of signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells you, every kind of sign and wonder, miracle, every kind of power, sign and false wonder, every kind, the lawless one, he's going to come with it. Every kind, not a few, a lot. If this is true, what is your relationship presently, at least the Nigerian church, with signs and wonders? No, the African church. What is your relationship with signs and wonders? You're crazy about it. Now, I just finished talking. God can do all sorts of signs and wonders. We've seen him do it. I believe God does. We need to believe more. On the flip side, you spend your time running after signs and wonders, not the word of the Lord. The one thing Satan does not bring is the word of the Lord, but he brings signs and wonders. And since he's going to bring every kind of sign and wonder, that means there will be every kind of wonder, every kind of sign. Then you can be assured the majority of churchgoers will follow, because a majority of churchgoers run after signs and wonders. Power! He will provide it. One power, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Now suddenly you find yourself having power. Woo. You feel your fingers tingling. Then when you touch someone, he falls. You're so big on falling. I see people excited just because people fall. And now you see that feeling you have, that feeling of invincibility. Wow. They fall in my presence. I walk past. I do. And they fall. They fall. My God. What greater sign that I too, am amongst the greats. Next thing they call, let's welcome a general. God, you know you're hopeless, right? Oh, what did you do? What? A general. Paul did not call himself a general. In fact, Jesus did not call himself a general. You did what? Why did you use that phrase on yourself? Why did you allow anybody to use it? Are you suicidal? No need to answer. Yes, of course. But I'm more interested in, did you actually think you are? My fear is, did you think it? Is there your head? Ah, who did this to you? What witches could not do? Who has done this to you? I mean, you're finished. Because amongst other things, it shows that you're desperate to be esteemed. And that's all Satan needs. When he comes to this earth, he's going to give people what they esteem. I saw an X-Men movie many years ago. I like to refer to it. That guy's name was Apocalypse. I think, what's the movie called? X-Men Apocalypse? Yes. And that guy came, rose from the dead. Remember that guy? And he was enhancing people with power. Enhancing. That's what I believe the lawless one will do. He's going to enhance you. All girls will be beautiful. You do like this, your face will be shaped. Your eyebrows would naturally become like they use eyeliner. Your eyelashes will grow out. Possibly. All sorts of things. And you're like, wow. How did you get this? Go there. He didn't go for his meeting. He just waved his hand. What does it take to achieve this? Remove all the things hindering your natural. You think God created it like that? I told our girls long ago that all of them are ugly. They don't believe. You think Eve looked like you? This is the degraded form. This is what is left. Now imagine how it was. If now, well, now ugly, now they cause trouble like this. Imagine if it's the original or no sin. So it's sin. We are the, see, this is the effect of sin. Sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death. When sin and death is removed off of it, do you know how? You won't look like, you'll be shocked. Keep a picture. You'll be shocked. When you look, I said, look at how I looked. Dear God, please, can you take this to the lake of fire? Because your definition of fine will change completely. You'll be beautiful in the future if you will endure now. But no, you know Satan now. Be beautiful now. Let everybody look at you now, now, now. So you make up, you make up, you make up, you cut, you shape, you powder, you bronze, you silver, you highlight, contour, till you distort almost everything that was left. An attempt to return to the Garden of Eden. No, don't do it. Don't be so desperate. And maybe in the future, you'll be amongst the most beautiful. I used to tell our sisters, don't be too crazy about putting colors all over your hair, your body, all that. Can you keep that for the age you come? Maybe your angel, your guardian angel, you say, make my hair. And they make styles that, you know, say, how many styles can you make? 5,000. Yeah, make one a month. Okay, that will last us for 500,000 years. After that, the other angel knows how to make another 5,000. I mean, can you wait? I tell you, you're so desperate. You act like God. God loves it drab. God loves it ugly. God loves it. God who made you loves it ugly? Are you sure? God loves things ugly? Come on. Whoever came up with us, and this is the leftover. whoever came up with creation cannot like ugly. He loves beauty. Now, what happens when all sin and death is removed from the way and then you can be yourself without being a stumbling block? Yes? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think God is going to say, no, you can never, don't beautify them. No, don't give them food. Don't give them, oh yeah, in this heaven, in this only water and small bread. Do you think so? The God who made fruits, do you think, the God who made all the kinds of fruits there are? Come on, that God, the Bible says he makes all things beautiful. And he said, all. So when a dog walks up to you, you know, in the age to come, hello, would you be going my way? Depends on which way you're going. I'm going to get a drink of water. Okay, I'm coming along. Yeah, I like a sip too. And you go to a beautiful river, so clean. And that dog is talking to you. You know, did you smell that? No, you didn't smell anything. Ah, yeah, my sense of smell. And it gist you about how dogs smell. And you're talking and you think that dog, and how do you think that dog will look? Because all the dogs on earth are Nkita. For those who don't understand Igbo, they are mongrels. They are the leftover of dogs. There's what's left over. That's what sin has left behind. Whatever you see is what sin and death has worked its destruction to the stage of. Now, the day is coming. This sin is going to increase so much that God is going to destroy the earth again. Because he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be. You ready? Are you ready for a war so sinful where they will study witchcraft in class? They are already studying. So all the, you know, all these things you people, you guys shout about. They are already studying in the more, in quotes, advanced countries. You guys are copying even without knowing. You have Bob Riskies and James Browns and everything. So what is all, you know, we act like God will never allow it happen. Africa is just one of the last places for nonsense. Now I hear they are threatening Ghana that if they pass a law against homosexuals, that something, that they will be told billions of dollars from them. That's what they are doing. So it's by force. You must join us and support our moral decadence. If you don't, we'll cut you off. This is just the beginning. Things are still normal, though. Things are still normal. It's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. The time is coming. They will not be able to hide things anymore. They'll just come up and listen. Hey, we work for the dragon. Okay, so you guys, if you don't like it, check out. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, not the success of Labour Party. You didn't hear me? Or Trump, the Republicans. That's not what creation is waiting for. So what are we doing here? Oh, we are trying to get sons of God ready. Who wants to be one? Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because when the sons of God manifest, they are the ones that are going to reorder things. Creation seems to have more sense than most Christians. Creation. The Bible tells you all of creation is groaning. The trees groan. They can't bear fruit. How the small fruit comes out, the branch breaks. Have you seen mangoes? How many of you see the mango? Very lovely. You peel it black inside. Nonsense like this. What do you think that is? Sin and death. You look at it, it's so fine outside. It has no right to be so messed up. You bite. It has that white, ugly. Anybody? Something happened to you. I hope you weren't too hungry to notice. I mean, you don't eat all that thing. Fine like this outside, inside, nonsense. Who has seen the corn for the last few years? The leaves keep getting attacked by whatever. All of that, while Bill Gates is still working on destroying it. If you hear the evils that are coming, it's going to increase. You keep wondering, how can a human being, he's not even a president, he's not this. How is he control? What's happening here? What's happening? What's happening is that the end of the age is coming. The end of the age is going to be like the days of Noah. Now, you want to hear me talking about this, please. Go back to when I was preaching it. Before all these things happened, go back to 2017. Go and listen to what I preached about it. 2018. So you don't say I'm reacting to the news. As for the old messages, listen to them carefully. You'll hear me speak about this thing. Terrible times are coming on your earth, like in the days of Noah. Who said, like in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus. Does he tell lies? So how are you preparing? Because I'm speaking to you about the days of Noah. The days of Noah were terrible times. Terrible times. It was so evil that God saved 8 people and killed everybody else. That's how evil it was. He killed everybody. They were all infected. Their lineages, the blood running in them was all messed up with all their experimentation. All they're doing all sorts of things. Genetic modification. They corrupted. The Bible says it's all flesh that was corrupted. You presume it was all their minds only. No, it's flesh. Are they genetically modifying things right now? Oh, yes. It's going to increase. You don't know. No, that right now, for a long time, have you heard of cyborgs? That they are working on human beings, trying to mix it them with machines, half machine, half man, half machines. Have you heard the speed with which robotics has jumped just this year alone in months? Everybody in bed, their robots are getting smoother and smoother. Some are sorting, dancing, picking eggs, arranging batteries. Oh, you don't know anything. The price of Gary has not allowed. Bros, sister, and when you look at it, you admire, AI is finishing. Those are the glimpses. It's going somewhere. It's not a start and end. Mm-mm. I'm not saying the people that invented it know, but some of them know. When you hear of scientists describing visions they've seen, scientists, some of the foremost voices, scientists, and they are describing, I see, and they describe things like from Terminator 2, a world destroyed by machines. One of them referred to human beings as human 1.0, that is going to be taken over by human 2.0. And that human 2.0, they are creating it. So you become expendable. And they're talking, but how would they? He said, well, I know they will kill everybody, but there's nothing we can do. So we just help it come to be. Your earth is going somewhere. In 10 years, you see this discussion I'm having with you? In 10 years, you'll be wondering, how come we're just going around life normally? So what do you do about this? We run to a cave? Nope. No electricity. No. What do we do? You build your own kingdom. Question is, which kingdom are you part of? There's a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's the kingdom of God. The only way, the Bible says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This is what God told me in 2008. And confirmed it. He said, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He said, once more, I'm going to shake heaven and I'll shake the earth. And only what cannot be shaken will remain. So everything will be shaken. Your faith, your trust in different things, all of it will be shaken. All. I find it. See, let me advise you. Throw in everything you have. Your money, your time, your effort, your resources, your development, your intellect, your brain, throw all into the seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's the only place that cannot be shaken. The Bible says, therefore, receiving a kingdom, Hebrews 12, that cannot be shaken. Let me read this translation, verse 28. Everyone, let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. King James, let's read it in poetry. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is what I'm focused on. This is what I preach and tell you to focus on. All that, a little for Jesus, the rest for me. You are most unwise. You are most unwise. You are very unwise. If I use the King James word, you are foolish. You don't know what you're doing. You're building on sand. The storms are coming. The Bible then says, if the storm came, Matthew 7. He said, when the storm, the flood, the rain. He said, when? Two men. You may be sitting next to each other right now. If this guy is building on hearing what God says to him and doing it, he's building on rock. If this guy is hearing but not responding, like many people, you hear. After you finish hearing like this, you go back and live your normal life. You just leave. Your future is sure. Jesus told you. He said, you have built your house on sand. He said, those who hear my words and do not do them. You know that includes those that are planning to do it later. The issue is not whether you're planning to, is that you don't do it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Even BSB said it. Foolish. But the one who hears it and does it is a wise man. So it doesn't boil down to your being in a meeting and hearing it. It boils down to hearing, then doing. You hear it and you go like, okay, I've heard. You know what? How do I do it? You say, hang out with those people. They do what they are working on it. Hang out. Hear and do. Hear and do. If you will hear and give yourself to doing. Next verse. The rain fell. The torrent raged. And the wind blew and beat against the house. Now, this is the house of the wise man. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. So your choices were made based on what Jesus said. Anything you do on what Jesus says, Jesus is the rock. So your choices are on the rock who cannot be shaken. And that's how you can be sure when the time comes. He's the one that will tell you, like he told his disciples back then. When you see the army surround, he gave them the signs. You're here in the city, flee to the mountains, the area called Petra. They left. The Romans, whom they thought had left, came back and killed them and sold them as slaves. But the Christians were not in the city. They had left. This is what happened after Jesus died, almost 40 years after Jesus died. You remember, he told them, this generation shall not pass. Using a generation for 40 years. This generation shall not pass. That generation died in the wilderness, 40 years. This generation shall not pass till all these things which I say come to pass. People read it and are confused. Some of the prophecies he gave were to happen then, and it happened. 70 AD, it happened. It came to pass. It's not everything Jesus said that is to come to pass in the future. Some already came to pass. And they took Jews captive, sold them as slaves, slaughtered many of them who ran into the temple and tore down the temple, and one stone was not left on the other. Did Jesus prophesy that? Mm-hmm. Is there a temple right now? No. He had said it would happen so. But where were the Christians? The Bible says, or not the history, Josephus, others said, they had fled to the mountains when the Roman army left, pulled off, called off the siege for a brief moment. They said, remember what the Lord told us. The armies of Rome had surrounded them for a long time and they were under siege. Things were very difficult inside there. They were persecuting Christians on top, even while they were being held captive. They ran out to the mountains while the Jews were saying, yes, we have overcome them. They went, turned around, came back and slaughtered them. But the Christians were in the mountain. The Lord always, I said this on Sunday, he's able to rescue the godly. He's able to rescue the godly. But he holds the unrighteous for punishment. A day is coming when a lifestyle of obedience, let me tell you how important it will be. You have lived a life of repeated obedience. This is how it will be. You'll be sitting down like you've been a, you'll not be students, but well, who knows when what will happen. Let me show you the training God has been giving the earth, and people are not listening well. Let me show you. The year was 2020. They called it a worldwide lockdown. Nobody knew it will hit here when it knew. It hits, yes? No? How many of you are students then? You were in university. How many of you knew it will happen? The announcement came how many days? How much notice did you have? Less than a week. I don't know. Mine was 2 days, so I don't know about, you know. We heard it on the 12th and on the 14th. It took effect. Something like that. We did not know. What did we know in this church? We knew that they were about to write exams in uni, and God told us to meet every day. And I looked at it. I was like, this is crazy. I stood on a Sunday and I've never seen that video. I'd like to see that video, you know. And I said, well, let me just say it. We are going to be here every day. Had no clue of why. The Lord told us, you have 2 weeks. That's all he told us. You have to. And we're like, what will happen? We kept asking, what? Go and watch. Go and listen to the message. I kept saying, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. What is this? Okay. 2 weeks. 2 days left before 2 weeks. They put it out. 3 days. They announced, everybody, go home. Now, let me show you where the sign of your not knowing God well enough. All of you that left your things that used to stay in the hostel and you left it in your room. That shows how much you listen to God. People left Milo, left milk and things. No, you should have known God enough to know that, Father, will it be long or short? There is not 3 days. There is not 1 week. And you should have carried all those things. So you should have just left something, but you left all of that. Who knows what rats enjoy? Well, God takes care of the wild beast too. And you went away for months and you had no clue it would be so. Movement hampered everything. Now, to the extent we hear God, so it ought to be. We ought to hear God well. Now, I'm saying the day will come. Your ability to hear God will decide if you live or die. You'll be walking down, going the same road where people go. And the Holy Spirit will say, go left. use the other road. You're like, ah, that road is too long now. But because you have a habit, daily life of listening, you take that way. When you get home, people say, how did you get here? You didn't hear. You didn't hear what was happening. They were kidnapping girls, putting them to trucks and carrying them away. And it won't be some big deal. It will just be, is that voice, that one that told you 79 times who to talk to when you went out for evangelism. Say, talk to this one. Talk to this one. And you're like, this one with this big beard, this man looks like you slapped me. This one looks like a cultist. Say, talk to this one. It's that same voice. That voice that comes from experience.